This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Slammed.
Brown goes inside. Oh, what a slam from Jaylen Brown.
Brought to you by WEEI and Odyssey Sports.
Tatum on the move. Oh, he set off the smoke detector.
With Megan Ottolini, Esteban Bustillos, and Justin Turpin.
Brown. One, two.
Right now.
Welcome to Slammed, a podcast where we talk about everything Boston Celtics, brought to you by Odyssey. I'm Megan Ottolini, joined as always by Esteban Bustillos and Justin Turpin of WEEI and Odyssey. And guys, we got a stretch because the Celtics finally got a little stretch after they played six games in 9 days. Maybe a little benefit of missing out on progressing in the NBA Cup is that they get a little bit of a break and then they get to see some soft teams later in the week. Sorry, like, just no disrespect to Detroit and Washington, but you know who you are and you know who the Celtics are. So that's where I want to start with you guys. Obviously, it would be fun to continue having NBA Cup coverage with the Celtics. I guess on the plus side, we don't have to watch the other team's very bright courts anymore when we watch this team play. But do you think it's a bigger benefit for the Celtics to have this little stretch of rest after a hectic week plus of play, or do you think it would benefit them more if they were still competing in the NBA Cup?
Yeah, because they go from, what, Saturday to playing tonight?
Yeah, it's like a mini bye. It's like a half bye. And they're not the only ones. The Sixers are there, too. I don't have the list of teams in front of me, but obviously a group of teams that missed out on the NBA Cup are there as well.
I think it's probably a good look for them. I mean, as has been noted, the Memphis game, it was maybe a project as much as anything, is just having to do so much, like so many games in a very short window. I think it's a good look. And again, it is weird that the NBA Cup can happen with the two top seeds in the East not participating, which is odd. I think they'll probably try to take as much advantage of it as they can in this case.
I'm not even sure the organization was huge on the NBA Cup. I mean, they went to Abu Dhabi for the preseason, so they've already done plenty of traveling. I'm not sure they wanted to go.
I thought you were going to say they've done plenty of marketing for the league.
That as well, yes, that as well. But I'm not sure the league was, or the organization rather, was really too high on it just because of the unnecessary traveling. And obviously they're coming off a stretch where they played six games in 9 nights, 5 and 7. And now you get two games in 11 nights. You sign up for that more a phony cup, as much as I am
whoa,
a fan.
Whoa, phony
hot
cup.
It is. I mean,
phony
I'm a
cup.
Fan of
You're
it.
Also perhaps keeping your players a little bit more hydrated by not having them out in Vegas potentially.
That's very true.
I still think that it's a missed opportunity for guys at the end of the bench to be able to get a nice bonus. And I think that's the one thing that guys on this team really care about is they would have liked to be able to do that for the Luke Cornets of the world, who are still trying to pay off their Waltham mortgage.
They also get a bonus for winning a championship.
Yeah, I was going to say there. I think that the championship bonus may even that out, you know?
Exactly. But all that to say, like, I think that it probably probably is a little bit more beneficial for the Celtics, who already know at this point who they are, how to lock in, flip the switch, however you want to categorize that, that they get a little bit of a rest after what was a really hectic stretch of play for them. They got Porzingis back, and they obviously want to be very intentional with how they play him along with Al Horford. And even seeing Jason Tatum the last time that Terp and I potted together in person after that Detroit game in which he sat out. You know that they're exercise science. People are being very deliberate and intentional about how they're conditioning these guys and keeping them healthy, because they know it's going to be hopefully the longest season possible for them.
People can't forget, too, a lot of these guys played a longer summer because of the Olympics, because of the NBA Finals. So, I mean, they're big winners for not going. As much as the league would probably want the defending NBA champions to be in the NBA Cup,
maybe they should put them in the commercials then.
That's true. That's true.
Maybe they should stop running that commercial that says a whole new league.
What about that
one? A completely different year. And it's like the Celtics brought back the same team, you guys, and they're the reigning champs. What is this campaign you're doing?
What is it? LL Cool J? Is that the artist?
Yeah.
I'm just glad.
Do you even know who that is?
No, I have no clue. I know from the NBA Cup song. That's about it.
You don't know who LL Cool J is?
No, I know.
Ladies Love Cool J?
No.
The most important. Mama Said Knock You Out?
Like the
first. Well, that's the cup. That's a cup song.
Like the first
Don't Call
rap
It a Comeback
superstar. Like the first like big, huge rapper.
Well, I know the Don't Call It a Comeback. And I'm the Knock You Out song I know from the NBA Cup. Yeah. But before then, I...
Like the foundation for every other rapper who came after him was like LL. Anyways.
Now, this begs the question. Who is that ad for? Because if it's trying to appeal to the 30-plus crowd, I think that they're already sitting at home watching these games. So if they're trying to appeal to the Turpins of the world, he's just like learning about LL Cool J for the first time.
I will say the cup can feel a little odd and maybe a little forced. I think it would have been fun to see the Celtics in like this win or go home situation. And look, I don't know how much you can actually extrapolate as last year when it was like the Lakers and the Pacers playing for the cup final, like what this will actually mean for the rest of the season.
Mostly nothing.
Yeah, but it's still fun. It's fun.
Well, that's the funny thing to me too, is the championship game doesn't even count as a win or a loss. It's just a neutral game that means absolutely nothing, but you get a cup for it. I mean, it should count in some way.
I'm still confused by this. So it's considered one of the 82.
The championship game is
not. Because there's no way that they can really backfill the rest of the league to account for that one game.
But I guess, I mean, so then if you make it to the championship, are you playing an extra game?
You're playing an extra game.
Wow.
It should count towards the standings, because that could help for tiebreakers or whatever it is if you have an extra game. I know it'd be ridiculous if two teams play 83 and the rest play 82, but there should be some incentive other than the money, especially for the top guys, because if you're Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and I know the Celtics aren't playing in it, but what is your incentive to play?
We've talked about it. I think that you should get an extra coach's challenge, you should get
something.
Extra timeouts, something like that, at least at your discretion to use in the playoffs. I think it has to have some kind of postseason weight to it, because you assume if you've set this up the right way, which is also in question, that the teams that would end up in the NBA Cup final would already be playoff teams. So giving somebody an extra playoff berth, I think, doesn't make any sense, and it's not enough to play for. But if you can give them some kind of edge for a team like the Pacers, who needs the edge in getting through the first two rounds, then I think that makes more sense.
What if you would just get, if you win the cup, you get home court no matter what in the playoffs?
Do we think home court carries that much of an advantage still?
I think it does.
And then is that first round? Or is it...
Let's just say all the way through. However long you're in the playoffs.
You can't do that.
Because all the way through, that's the incentive number to one have seeds. The best record in the NBA.
Yeah. That's true.
At home court
advantage.
That's true.
I'm just throwing out ideas.
I don't know.
But I know what you mean. Like, there's like... When the top guys are making, you know, more money than God, like, there has to be something else. Yeah, I feel you.
Okay. We're talking about the NBA Cup yet again, and the Celtics aren't even in it. One team who's in it, though, is the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
And the Celtics over the weekend split against the Bucks. They won against Milwaukee, fully healthy Milwaukee. First time they've seen them that way this season. Then they go on and they lose to Memphis with Marcus Smart's return actually playing at the Garden. But I want to start with Milwaukee, because obviously you get a fully loaded team there, and you get Dame and Giannis combining for 61 points. They're able to withstand that. Excellent double-double from Jason Tatum that night. Big Tatum game.
Yeah.
Do you guys, after watching that, feel any differently about Esteban? I know you were already a little more bullish on Milwaukee than Terp and I were. That they may be figuring something out, and that actually the NBA Cup could serve as this vehicle for them, and especially with a coach like Doc Rivers, who's really motivational with his players in instances like that, that they could maybe start putting some kind of recipe together that they weren't able to finish last season and figure something out through that process and become an actual formidable opponent for the Celtics.
I think I think what this cup is going to be really interesting to see, like, what Milwaukee does. I think what's more interesting looking down the line, I'm not sure given their start, what's realistic in terms of Milwaukee's finish. But if they end up around where they are,
they're 11-11 right now.
Sixth in the East. So if they end up around, like, let's say that mid-range in the playoff seedings, like, they could screw somebody's season up really quickly if they're playing at a decent level like we've seen them play. I think that can make for a really interesting playoff scenario. It's like, what if Milwaukee's like the 5 or the 4 or the 6? And now Boston maybe has to play them, let's assume, like, what if it's a round 2 matchup instead of a finals matchup against a fully healthy Milwaukee team. That can make things really close, I think.
I mean, they're winners of 8 of their last 10. I mean, they are clearly starting to turn something around. And I also do think it's important to note, like, there's only been 2 Eastern Conference teams to win the finals in the last 5 years, and that's Milwaukee and Boston. And a lot of those guys from that Milwaukee team, and I know obviously Jrue Holiday was a big part of that, and he's with Boston now, but a lot of those guys are still there. And Doc Rivers has been there. He's won a championship. And I think that's important, especially when you're looking around the East where a lot of these teams are younger or they're starting to figure themselves out, like the Knicks. I know there's a lot of veterans on there, but they're still trying to figure out how to gel together, and none of them have been there and won a championship yet. So I think it is important, and I think they can throw somebody off if they kind of get going, but I just don't see them beating the Celtics 4 games in a 7-game series. I just can't see it. Even the other night, like, Dame and Giannis totaled a lot of points, but they shot 13 and 25 from Giannis and 12 of 25 from Dame. Like, if you're the Celtics, you live with that.
Giannis had that clanker from behind the arc, and then Horford goes back on the other end and just sinks it with his ugly style. I really want the Bucks to be good. I want the Bucks to really get some momentum here, because it makes it so much more fun for the second half of this regular season for the Celtics, and way more fun to look forward to in the playoffs. Giannis is the perfect heel. Yeah. We need a villain for the Celtics to go up against, so that it's not just like last season, where Boston is just rolling over teams and the whole national media is saying Boston's got it so easy because they're so much better than everyone. I would like for them to go up against the Greek freak, the guy who gets the special treatment on 60 Minutes that all the boomers watch, and they go, well, that isn't that guy like one of the best players in the world? And boom, Boston just rolls over them in the playoffs. But I want to continue this beef between him and Jaylen Brown. I like the Doc Rivers aspect of it. I think it's great for the Eastern Conference, and it's actually super fun for the Celtics if the Bucks can find a way to continue this momentum and to keep Giannis happy enough that he is engaged for the rest of the season, and Dame doesn't go through another sad boy winter out in Milwaukee where he's giving quotes about how lonely he is playing video games.
And he's playing great. Did y'all see Thanasis's quote about Payne Pritchard?
No.
I did see that.
Yeah, where he was like, he is the player, I forget if he said it in the league or on the Celtics.
On the Celtics.
That, like, is sort of, he thinks he's the most dangerous because he is always on, this is Thanasis Antetokounmpo, Giannis's
cheerleader's
brother. But basically, like Tatum, Brown, they're the stars and they're going to have on and off nights, but he's like, Pritchard is always going to be there. I know we talk about Pritchard a lot, but it was interesting to see that from
A lot because he's having a big season. And I think it's, I don't recall exactly where the poll I saw was from, if it was NBC Sports Boston or elsewhere, but I'm sure there's a couple of these out about who you fans want taking the final shot in games, and the amount of fans who say Peyton Pritchard. It's kind of incredible when you've got ahead of him Derek White, Jaylen Brown, and then, of course, Jason Tatum. The faith that fans have gotten him in just a couple of weeks is impressive.
Yeah. What were you saying, Chart?
No, I was going to say, back to Megan's point about the Celtics and the Bucks and that kind of rivalry, in a way, very loose, because I don't think the Celtics necessarily have a rival. We've talked about that this podcast.
Yeah, again, but they need one. And it's not even just right. a rival. You can so easily make that. You're the good guys. They're the bad guys. That's right. what sports are all
and
about.
Mm-hmm. After the game, even Al Horford and Jason Tatum were talking about how these games against Milwaukee mean a little bit more. They have
yeah, because they don't like Giannis.
They don't like Giannis. They don't. Yeah, so I mean, I
make
think
it personal.
Yeah, I think it'd be great.
Giannis is a child, as one said.
I will say the last thing on it is that if I'm correct, they haven't met in the playoffs since 2022 when Celtics and Bucks had that great series and we saw Tatum go off.
Right.
And that was a game six.
Game
yeah.
six.
So I think there is, maybe there's not.
Remember Grant Curry.
Yeah.
In game seven.
there's definitely like something there. So yeah, maybe let it simmer a little bit over the course of the season.
Definitely. Finally, Saturday night game, against Memphis. Another little homecoming for Marcus Smart. Mm. You were there in the building, Terp. Tough night for Marcus Smart. I think he shot 0.9%. It was not a good showing for Marcus. He had 3 points in 19 minutes and not really indicative of who he's been coming off the bench for the Grizzlies this season. I think my feelings on Marcus Smart are pretty well documented. He was my favorite player with the Celtics. I have a lot of respect for what he did off the court and the smart cards that he supplies to still continues to hospitals up and down the East Coast and all the work he does with pediatric cancer patients and just very, very cool guy, in my opinion. Yeah. Wish he had a better showing at TD Garden, but Terp, what was it like in the building?
The standing ovation was really cool to see, but other than that, it was kind of underwhelming. He didn't really have a great game. He wasn't in the closing lineup either. I thought that would have been pretty cool. He had been closing games for Memphis, but he wasn't in the closing lineup on Saturday night, so that kind of took away from it a little bit. But we did see, I thought it was kind of funny too, that they kind of did the Marcus Smart strategy against the Celtics and let Drew Holiday shoot, and that was kind of funny that they did it paying homage to Marcus Smart.
Yeah, it was a tough night for Drew.
But he was good defensively. I mean, we saw he got the best of Kristaps Porzingis a couple times in the post, had a great couple good possessions against Jason Tatum. So, I mean, we saw what it was, just the typical Marcus Smart game. I mean, wish he shot the ball a little bit better in his return. I thought pregame when he came out, he kind of acknowledged the crowd when he jogged out, and the reaction was there, but it wasn't as much as it was when he got that standing ovation. So that was really the highlight of his return. I thought it was cool that he had a son there. His son's only like 2 months old.
Yeah, he wanted to introduce them not just to the team, but like everybody behind the scenes with the franchise. I think one thing that jumped out at me that is so obvious, but I just have to admit to not watching a ton of Grizzlies games, is Ja Morant's return. Ja Morant is this guy who, the reverse dunk was insane. He finished with 32 points. He's a guy who I think had he avoided some of the detours that he's taken over the last two seasons, would without a doubt be a top 10 player, if not maybe dancing around top 6 or 7 player. Yeah. He's just that talented. So I to me, it was at least just interesting to see, because we spend so much time now talking about Anthony Edwards, SGA, who are these guys who are coming up, all the foreign guys who lead MVP voting every year. And then it's like, oh, yeah, Ja, he's back out there. He's still got it.
Well, and I think it was Jalen, if I'm not mistaken, who said before the season, he was asked, what team do you think, you know, sort of makes a breakthrough? I think it was Jalen Brown who said Memphis. And they're 2 in the West right now. And the West is like, the East is sort of like, okay, Cavs and then Celtics and maybe the Bucks and then maybe the Knicks too. But the West is just a bloodbath.
Yes.
Incredible. Like, I think it's, you know, Thunder have 18 wins, Grizzlies 17, Rockets, Mavs, both 16. Like, that, the race toward the top there is just off the wall. So that's gonna be really fun to watch.
That team's really good. I mean, they won 51 games 2 years ago when everyone was fully healthy, and they're only getting better. Like, Jaren Jackson Jr. is taking a big step forward. Ja Morant continues to improve. So as long as these guys are healthy, and like last year just wasn't, it literally wasn't the Memphis Grizzlies. They had 2-page injury reports every night. They're playing guys, signing guys to like COVID contracts, almost like 10-day contracts just to fill roster spots. Now that they're healthy, we're starting to see the team that they were 2 years ago that finished second in the Western Conference. So this is absolutely a contender in the West, I think, and they're only going to keep getting better because they're a young team.
Scottie Pippen Jr. on there too. And he's doing great.
Might have to start watching more Grizzlies, I guess, if they're going to be a contender in the West.
They're not necessarily high on my League Pass watching.
Where do you
team.
Even find them?
League Pass.
You don't have League Pass.
That's the way to go.
Okay, finally, Terp, you wrote this for WEI.com. Just wanted to get your high-level thoughts on it. You were comparing the team this year to this point in the calendar year to last year's championship team. And your main takeaway is, it seems like, is they are pretty similar, which shouldn't be a surprise because they ran it back with almost the entire roster. But any other differences that you see between these two teams that jumped out at you?
Really, the one that jumped out to me is the point differential, because it doesn't feel like they were necessarily blowing teams out this year. But then you look closely and they have a higher point differential than they did a season ago at this point, because it was through the first 24 games. They're 15 points higher, and with what I have it right here, they've had won 11 games by double digits, 5 of them by 20-plus points, and 7 by 15 points. So it might not feel like they're blowing teams out. It feels like they're finding different ways to win ugly, in a way, every night. Mm-hmm. But they are still just beating the brakes off teams.
Yeah, I think that would probably have to be about the three-point attempts and how much they've ratcheted those up even more, where it feels like these games are maybe closer than they are, and yeah, we're watching so much of the three-point make percentage night to night and seeing, you know, like where they're going to falter or where the weak spots are. So I think we're all just probably hypersensitive to that and not realizing how much they are actually rolling teams for the most part.
I was looking at the three-point volume, and it's up from the first 24 games last year. It's up almost 9 attempts a game. So
there are they at 54 per game, something around that?
They are at 51.4.
Okay, 51.4. Mm.
And they're shooting, even though they're shooting, so last year was 42.6 through the first 24 games. They're actually shooting a fraction better. It was 36.9 last year. They're up to 37. But the advantage, just because of the sheer volume, is way up. So last year, they made 377 threes to their opponent's 328. That was a plus 147 advantage. Yeah. This year, it's 456 to 302. They're outscoring opponents by 462 points on the perimeter. And that's obviously affecting the offensive rating, because it's points per possession. And when you're getting more points per possession because you're making more threes, your offensive rating's going to go up. So.
Yeah, and to your point, I think you said earlier, Megan, like, this is basically the same team as last. So it's not surprising that, you know, a lot of those numbers are same, if not better. I think it's just like, yeah, is Porzingis going to, basically the big question, is Porzingis going to stay healthy for at least the remainder of this season heading into playoffs?
And with those three-point attempts, I would say you have to consider the Peyton Pritchard impact on that. I know it sounds ridiculous, but if you're watching game by game, it cannot be ignored over the last 3 weeks at least. And you think about taking into account that Porzingis has only really played, you know, a handful of games at this point. And so it's not coming from him where it was last year.
And I don't have the updated numbers in front of me, but I know I looked at it last week, and Pritchard was top 10 in made threes, not even off the bench. He leads the league in threes off the bench in just made threes, period. Like, that's how good he's been. So he's been huge. And another thing that really stuck out to me when looking at this is they've used 11 different starting lineups this year. Their preferred starting five of White, Holiday, Brown, Tatum, and Porzingis. They've only played 3 games together so far. At this time last year, they played 15 together. So I would argue the Celtics might be better this year than they were a year ago.
I think to answer your question, he's top 5 right
top
now.
Top 5, yeah.
He's 5 above. Tatum is 6. So yeah, I think
and
it was
Derek
reversed.
White's on there too, right?
Derek White was. He's still on top 10, but right now.
Couple rough shooting nights.
Yeah,
yeah. Be hurt by Memphis.
But right now, in terms of
tired legs.
In terms of 3 points made, Peyton Pritchard is top 5 in the league.
I mean, you got to start thinking about having the conversation of not only Sixth Man of the Year, but also Most Improved. I mean, his average, career highs across the board, and his jumps on those stats per game are no joke.
Has anybody been both?
I don't know if anyone's ever won both. That's a good question.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Can you both? Are you allowed
Peyton Pritchard should.
Are you allowed to double dip postseason awards?
I'm not sure. I mean, you don't really see it like with NFL, at least. You don't really see it with like MVPs and Offensive Player of the Year. But it's a little different because the NFL, like the MVP is a quarterback award.
Yeah,
Oh, the second best non-quarterback gets the Offensive Player
it's
of the Year.
It's basically Josh Allen and Saquon.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be this year. But I don't know if it
that's
has.
For another podcast. Different, it's called Six Rings. It's called Six Rings. This is Slammed. If you have enjoyed it, rather, I always screw up these outros. If you have enjoyed it, please like, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Find us on all your social media channels. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter, and we will have coverage for you at the end of the week, going into the Detroit and Washington games after the Celtics get out of this rest. We'll probably have a little look at practice tomorrow as well. Thanks, guys.